Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing surface that's a game changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client. Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. And now it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.
Welcome to Sweeping the Country. I'm your host, Derek Walker, my co-host, Mr. Jimmy Carter. And hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Hello, hello. As we get close to the holiday season, you know, I've done my shopping, I've done everything. I think I'm waiting for one thing to arrive. Mm-hmm. And then I've got the really, really important stuff. But those kind of things just have to work out themselves. You
what
know?
Do you, what do you mean the really important stuff?
The significant other type things.
The big ones. Yeah.
Yeah, and if I'm going to do it, yeah. I got you. It's such a stressful time of the year.
It can be. Yeah, you're right.
And also, that. I've got a lot of friends that have got the cooties.
Uh-oh.
That have had upper respiratory things that they got at Thanksgiving. And I've had you can hear it in my voice, I've had it for almost a week.
Yeah.
And it had a little laryngitis going with it a week ago, but that went away. And it's just blowing your nose all the time. I woke up this morning, I hardly could breathe. I mean, I was so stopped up. And you'd have to, you know, eat these antihistamines, and Mucinex helps a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm doing something I never do, and that's drink warm liquid.
Let the record indicate.
I don't drink coffee or that. I mean, I don't mind a warm glass of tea.
Yeah.
But I don't drink hot liquids. And there are, you know, a number of people, not that many, but a few of us still left in the world
that don't.
And it does help you when you've got a throat or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it burns whatever's back there on your vocal cords.
I think a lot of singers do that.
They do. Yeah. And they try tea and honey and every other thing.
All that, yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we come to nearly the end of the year. And, you know, there are a lot of lists that come out. Here's one for you.
Okay.
We're also at the end of the first quarter of the century.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even think of that.
We're the end of the first 25 years.
Yeah.
And so there's a magazine called Pollstar that counts how many tickets people have sold and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't memorize it, but no one that I've asked this question to has been able to guess who the number one touring artist of the first 25 years would be. Who is that?
Of the first 25 years.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that.
And I'll just go ahead and tell you. Ticket sales now.
Now, don't tell me.
Not by money made or anything like that.
Don't tell me. Is it a country artist or is it
no?
Okay. Yeah,
sold the most number of tickets in the last 25 years.
In the last 25
years. No, it's not Taylor Swift because she's the runner up in how much money that was made.
Is it a male or female or a group? Can you give
group.
Me? It's a group. I'm going to say the Eagles.
They did a halftime show for the Super Bowl one year.
They did a halftime show for the Super Bowl. The Rolling Stones?
No, but they are the one that had the biggest, that made the most amount of money touring in the last 25 years. And that figure was over $6 billion.
Oh, my God. The most money Mick Jagger's probably ever made.
They split it. You know, you got to split it three, four ways.
But
so
that's still
down.
Back in the day, they weren't.
They made the
like
most money. Taylor Swift was number two.
Okay, give it to
like
me.
A lot.
I don't know. I can't.
Coldplay.
Wow, that's out of left field for me. I mean,
24.
I like
no one got it. No one guessed
that's
it.
Crazy.
24 million tickets.
Wow, that's amazing.
And something like I don't know, a couple of billion dollars in sales. I didn't sell it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're number one. U2 is number two.
Wow.
Because U2 was very big at the first of this 25 years.
Yeah, you know, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
And then after that's Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yeah, he was hot for a while, too, yeah.
And then, actually, another name that's in there for the first 25 years is the one that did the most shows that they're counting.
Garth Brooks.
Dave Matthews Band.
Dave Matthews. But by the way, did you know?
I mean, they've done a lot of shows, and so they're up there real high, too.
Not only that, Dave Matthews has their own brand of wine.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty good. We're
dealing big money.
Wow, Dave Matthews, big man, money. That's crazy stuff. But interesting. I mean, you think...
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It of sure course, is. Yeah,
in
sure
country. Is. Now, just guess the country artist. He doesn't come in, but he comes in at number seven on the,
I'm gonna
on
say,
the big list.
I want to say Garth, just because he did so many. But
no, he didn't even make the top 25.
God, I'm blown away by that. A country artist. Do I have to go back like an Alan Jackson type? Or?
It's tough. No, it's not Alan.
I don't want to say
it. It's Kenny Chesney.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, that guy toured a lot. I didn't think about that.
He didn't tour a lot, but he toured stadiums.
He did big stops, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
big yeah. stops. Yeah, and, yeah. You know, every night was over a million or so. I think 1.4 million for every stop he made.
Well, he sold out. I mean, he got the reputation of putting on a show, and people knew that, and they knew that, and they would go, and he'd sell out those stadiums every time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's so crazy. He did, and so he was number seven on that whole list,
mm-hmm.
and he sold a lot of tickets too. I think it was 10 million or so, maybe more
amazing.
Than that.
That's amazing.
I think it was actually 18 million or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a lot.
Crazy.
A real lot.
Yeah.
And then the only other country artist in the top, well, there were two.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Toby Keith, who was like 23 or 24, which is pretty great for a guy who wasn't around the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, definitely.
And really touring for the last 5 or 6, really.
I mean, Taylor's got to be in there somewhere.
She's like number 5 or something like that.
Okay.
Because she made a lot of money per capita. Mm-hmm. She had one of the highest, I think she and the Rolling Stones had the highest ticket prices,
mm-hmm.
average ticket price, which is like $162 or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
even those cheap nosebleeds with the big expensive things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Taylor Swift's on up there too, of course. And but no, the number two one was Luke Bryan.
Wow.
10 million tickets sold, and he brought in every night about $865,000.
I mean, how many years do you think he's been pretty top of the line? 10 years, maybe?
I think it's cooled off a little bit, actually,
mm-hmm.
the last. But he was never a stadium act, really.
Yeah, that's wild. But he did a lot
of
stuff like...
I don't think he was. Yes, I'm sure he's played a stadium or two. But, yeah. I mean, I don't think he would be considered a stadium act like Kenny and Luke Holmes and Morgan Wallen and all those people, but they hadn't been around very long.
That's right, yeah.
And they haven't sold that many. I mean, I remember when Garth Brooks made a big deal. In 1 year, he sold 1 million tickets, and that was huge.
Yeah.
Nobody, I don't think he'd ever done that before.
That's wild.
And, now, people sell a lot of tickets every year. But anyway, that's just a little factoid that I thought was fun.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I didn't
In the political world... You know, we're just in a like an old Western standoff mm-hmm. between the Democrats and the Republicans on what to do about all this health stuff. Obviously, I mean, I think it's Democrats are not going to admit it, but they were sold down the road themselves with Obamacare.
Yeah.
And that's ended up not being a success. It's been extremely expensive for the government and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they've got to do something about it. People need health care.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that 100%. But you're right about the Western standoff. You're right.
Because the Republicans are not going to give them $80 billion to, for it to be misused and still not accomplish what they want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how they're going to get out of that.
Yeah, I don't know that either. I mean, there's a saving face, and then there's just saying, "Hey, we were wrong.
People need health care, so you got to fix something. You can't just leave the people high and dry. So they got to do a bridge type of thing,
mm-hmm.
To get them to something. But these people, led by Schumer, are just completely against anything that goes on. And the Trump derangement syndrome is as high as it's ever been.
Yeah.
Because no matter what they do, I mean, look at the Democrats, what they've had to go after. They've almost had to get to where they're defending people who drive drug boats in the middle of the night.
Well, in essence, you know, they are defending that.
They are defending. Oh, it's terrible. Right, we can't do that and all that. Listen, you tell somebody that they can't, say, you will be safe if you don't get into a drug boat and drive out into the Caribbean Sea.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're going to be okay. These people do that, and they're not okay.
Right.
We do the same thing with people, you know, that escape prison.
Right.
Let's say you escape prison, and you get out, and you're running in the yard, jumping over the fence. They're not going to just offer you a Coke or something. They're going to shoot you.
Right.
I mean, right, it's just kind of what happens when you're in the a bad zone, and you know whether they. It's crazy. It's not something we even should be talking about. You know, you can cite so many examples. You know, there are rules of war, yes. But think about all, I mean, good Lord. I don't even want to, I'll give one example that I'm going to quit because it's stupid to be in the argument at all.
Yeah.
But think about us bombing innocent people in World War II to defeat the Nazis.
Well, sure. Yeah.
They're innocent people that got killed in that for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
And a large number, yeah.
And they couldn't, you know, it's war. War is a bad thing. But if you're at war, you're hopefully trying to win. And I don't think people in their right mind think it's okay for the drugs to, yeah, that may not solve the issue, but it solves that issue of people bringing drugs across the water there. I mean, it's just something that, you know, I don't know. The drug war has just been stupid all the way around anyway.
I would agree.
I mean, it shouldn't even be a Democrat or Republican issue. We should be doing whatever we can do to stop it. And, you know, and even Nancy Reagan, who was made fun of, was right.
Yeah.
She was absolutely right. Just say no.
Right.
Just say no. Because you got to stop the people wanting the drugs. People are always going to want drugs.
Right.
It's just human nature that people want to anesthetize themselves.
True.
But it's not a good thing, and it's not something you should promote. And we'll see what happens with this federal. You know, we're learning more and more about marijuana.
Yeah, and it's not good.
None of it's good.
Right.
And I've been thinking that the whole damn time.
Yeah, you know.
You know, think about it. Think, just people use your brains for a second. How is it ever good for you to breathe smoke?
Right.
Whether you're a firefighter or a pot user, or a campfire.
Yeah.
How has it ever been good for a human to breathe smoke?
It isn't.
It's never been good.
Right.
And if that smoke makes you high, okay. But it's not good for you to put smoke,
right,
you know, anywhere in your body. It's just not a healthy thing. And then we've somehow made it where, oh, that's good smoke.
I don't understand that at all. And I know
that. And then in the college, they were putting it in bongs, you know, where it ran through ice water. I don't know if you ever saw those things.
Sure, yeah.
It made the hot smoke from pot cold. And, you know, it was stupid then, it's stupid now.
I'll go a step further, because my daughter has had asthma over the years. And you probably are aware of this, because I know you do the sleep apnea, or used to.
I still do.
So there was a machine called a nebulizer that she used back in the day. And basically what it did is it took the medicine, whatever medicine you want, and turned it into, for lack of a better thing, for people that may not know what that is, they turned it into a vapor you could breathe in. And it's very similar to what an e-cigarette does. It changes what the product is into a vapor that you can take into your lungs, right? And that was for people with asthma that needed to treat themselves in their lungs with that medicine. And I thought, as soon as they came out with even the vaping tools, I thought, how can that be good for you as well? I just don't see the logic.
No, it can't be good for you. Again, you're putting smoke into your lungs.
Right, you're putting
and
something.
And your lungs won't smoke.
Yeah,
and your brain doesn't want it either. And same way with booze.
I'll give you that.
Booze has become, you know, just completely okay. And Lord, I'll take a scotch and water. I had a margarita last night.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people can't have one margarita every couple of months.
Right.
And one, beer every once in a while. They can't do it. They got to have a lot.
Right.
And that's not good for you. Mm-hmm. Just like it's not good if you drink 70 Cokes a month or 70 Fanta Oranges or 70 Dr. Peppers or whatever it is. None of that stuff's good. So we choose to do what's bad for ourselves. That's okay. Free will. We can do it. I do things every day that's not good for me, and I know it.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, I'm choosing not to do drugs. I'm choosing not to drink very much at all. I'm drinking more water than I used to, but I'll still drink a Coke in the morning. Okay, that's not good. I do it with carbonated Coke, and I drink about half of it, or maybe three quarters, and that's all I'll drink that day.
I think some of it has to...
It's not good for you. So it's everything in moderation or very in a limited nature. But a lot of people can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do politics in a limited nature. They can't do
anything
in a limited nature.
That's true.
I've never understood the concept, too, of people... My body has never let me do it, so that's how I don't understand it. But I can't eat really any more today at lunch than I can on Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day. My body doesn't change, doesn't become like a camel where it expands for those days. If I do eat more because it's there, I do, but I can't eat significantly more.
Yeah, you're uncomfortable, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I just there's just always things.
Well,
I don't.
You got to go to the Derek Walker Training Academy where
you get it prepared to eat.
Eat extra all leading up to it every day for like a week, and then
the way to go.
Yeah, you got to stretch out the stomach if that's even possible. But I think logic. I think what you're saying.
But back to the dope and the smoke. I mean, come on, folks.
Yeah,
if
logic.
You do it,
I mean,
that's your business, really.
Yeah, right.
That's your business. If you vape or you smoke cigarettes or whatever, I'm sure you might not really want to do that.
Maybe,
but you feel like you need to do that. So that's I don't think you should. But it's not up to me. If you want to do that to yourself, you do it to yourself. But I would tell you, I would be trying to get away from that.
I would agree with you. I think where I draw the line with that kind of stuff is what is it that you're vaping? What is it that you're smoking? What is it that you're eating? Does it affect the people around you? In a sense that you remember when drunk driving became this huge thing and MAD took over and it was a big... It's a big deal, right? I mean, Mothers Against Drunk Driving and all that. That kind of inebriation basically affects everyone around you, especially if you get behind the wheel of a car. Now, if you just sit at home and don't do anything, I don't care. That's fine. Do whatever you want. But if you're going to get out there and cause havoc on other people with
that's without saying, yes.
Yeah.
And that's being a dope head or anything else.
Right.
It's just, we can't stop people. It's just your rights end where my nose begins. And back to the stupid thing about defending drug dealers Democrats don't really want to defend.
Of course they
the
don't.
Drug vote people, but they just know it's something that Trump's doing. So it's an issue. Mm-hmm. They're trying to do anything. It's like they throw anything up against the wall to see if it works.
Will that ever
end, Jimmy?
And they're
still
in
their back with the Epstein thing, which is still, come on, that horse is done gone to the farm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What are you going to try to get out of it at this point? I think they've kind of given up on that one. I think it's revealed whatever it's going to reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Geraldo's safe or whatever he did that time.
Al Capone.
Wasn't anything
it was
in it.
Al Capone's safe,
Al Capone's
wasn't
safe.
It?
Oh, that's man. What the Epstein files are. Al Capone's safe. Because we knew.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
Everything that was going to be in there. And again, using logic, which when you have Trump derangement syndrome, you can't have. But if there was anything bad about it, the Biden administration would have put it out.
Right. The first round.
Long before this. There's no hidden, nugget in there that Maybe they went over. Believe me, I'm sure they looked, and I'm sure they looked really hard.
I'm sure
as anybody would, the opposition would look.
My
opinion, boy, does that look bad or not now, by the way? The whole Biden thing, look how bad he looks.
Oh,
could you imagine if he was still the president?
It would be a nightmare. It would be a nightmare.
I mean, that we dodged, America dodged a bullet on that one.
I agree.
You may not like everything Trump is doing,
but trust me,
the Biden deal, you know, that was bad.
Yeah,
was
I agree with you. I agree with you.
In fact, he screwed over her because I'm telling you, I'm convinced. If he would have left the office when he probably needed to,
mm-hmm.
and went ahead and invoked the amendment, then she would have become the president.
Well, she would.
I think he couldn't have beat her. I think she'd still be president today. And so you can blame your own Democratic Party, you know, for that,
that
because they hosed over her on that deal.
Yeah, if she had.
I'm glad the way that it turned out personally.
Yeah.
But I do think that the history would have been a lot different if they'd have done what was right on the front end.
I agree with you. She would have had more time to market. And more time to
get. She would have been, if she'd have shown that she was stable in there, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything didn't go crazy when she was in there for the year that she would have been in there before the election. People wouldn't have thrown her out for Trump.
I agree. I would agree with that. And it was one of those bad tastes. I'm voting for the other side thing. It just the wave, you know, took over. So it's fascinating. But I do think folks have lost a little bit of what do you call it? Not critical thinking, just logic in general. I don't know why, but they just can't seem to reason about a lot of this stuff anymore.
Their hate for Trump is so deep. Because he gives them he's lighter
ammo?
Fluid on a fire.
Right.
Well, ammo, yeah. lighter fluid on a fire. He gives them so much to work with on any given day because he doesn't have that self-control with his language.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's so loose because he's so comfortable where he is. I mean, the man survived, you know, an assassin.
Golly.
He's survived multiple trials, and you know he is the roadrunner.
Yeah, he really
you know,
is.
Beep, beep. I mean, he just keeps going. You know, and
would you then say that the Democrats are the Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah, because the gang that can't shoot straight some of the time. You know, particularly lately. I mean, you know, is Newsom really going to be the party?
That can't be
the guy that's going to run. No way.
Yeah,
I'm still seeing no way on that.
Yeah.
He is not. He is no. And I'm not sure Vance is the answer either. So it could be interesting. But, you know, they're on the road now. The Republicans are on the road and Trump's on the road with this affordability stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but if you listen to the pros that really know, that don't have a Republican or Democratic, you know, extreme bias, when prices go up, certain things can go back down, the price of fuel, some of the other things like that. But what doesn't go back down is the price of an employee. Once you set an established wage or a salary for somebody, which people have gotten, you know, like particularly service employees, look at the raises they've gotten to keep up with inflation and the high cost of fuel and all that stuff. I mean, you know, again, I don't begrudge them for it, and I'm participating in that. I mean, I tipped today on a $20 lunch. I tipped $4. That's 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think lunch used to never cost me $20 for the first of all. I mean, it was more $13, $14 is probably what I used to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gone up, you know, 50%, 60%, 70%. And so the tips have had to keep up with it. I didn't tip $4 for lunch. You know, a lunch should be $2 or something.
Right. No,
and that was fine with everybody concerned. Nobody was upset about that. But again, now with $20 check, I tip $4. And then I tip more sometimes because I know that they're working so hard and, you know, I'll tip more. And I've certainly done that, you know, around Thanksgiving and some of these other times. But those wages don't go down.
No, and it's interesting
to
watch.
Back, which was what they're doing.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch companies too, because their profit margin, they have to answer, publicly traded companies have to answer to, you know, their investors and things like that. But you watch the wages go up, which obviously cost of goods sold then goes up. And so these employers are trying to find ways to hold down. So what do? They run you out 32 hours instead of 40 because the law says they don't have to give you a benefits package if you're not working full time.
Yeah, there's lots of screw things. I hate that.
Yeah.
But you know, if they're blaming Trump for not being able to bring down prices.
Right.
Example, hotel rooms.
Gosh, yeah.
They're certainly 50, 60, 70% higher than they were 5 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree with that at all.
You might could get a hotel room, you know, in some business park on a weekend with tax for maybe $105 or something like that.
Yeah, cheaper. Yeah.
Now you're not going to get out of there in less than really almost $200 on that same very big deal. And then in the average prices, you're going to pay more than $200 a night. And then, you know, not to mention the taxes that have all gone up. Mm-hmm. That the city councils and all say, hey, we can screw over the people coming to town because that's a tax that the locals don't feel.
You know,
they jack up the rates on rental cars, they jack up the rates on hotels, they jack up, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then what's really killing me right now, and this is what's made me crazy, and it's affecting my continued relationship with Hilton.
Okay.
They're now in most of the hotels trying to charge me to park in their open parking lot, not in the parking deck, out there in the lot.
Yeah.
Where you pull up to a hotel. They want to charge you $10, $15 a night to park out there. I'm not going to stay at a hotel that does that. And I'm just not. So if they want to lose my business over trying to add that fee, mm-hmm. that's like the airlines. You know, that's a trick the airlines have tried to do.
Oh, yeah.
Give you 1,000 different fees, mm-hmm. you know, and that way they can make more money without having to raise the actual rate.
Right.
So there's, you know, that kind of stuff is not something, and then maybe they're trying to, you know, they can't get enough people. That's another thing that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The hotels, the reason that I think a lot of this immigration stuff happened in the first place are places like Las Vegas, for one. They couldn't find enough workers to clean up these hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
They had so many of them. So they had to bring in people that may not have, you know, they might have been a little bit shaky in their immigration status mm-hmm. to come clean up the rooms or be the busboy at the restaurants and that kind of thing because the people were more than willing to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they were bringing in, there was a time in Northwest Florida where they were dealing with, they were doing this for in Nashville too.
Mm-hmm.
where they would use these employment agencies who would bring in people from Puerto Rico.
Because
mm-hmm. that's an American property.
Yeah.
And so you didn't have to worry about immigration. And they'd fly them in, and whole groups of them, mm-hmm. and put them up in old hotels and then turn it into like a corporate hotel. And so they paid for they put them in the hotel and then pick them up in a bus every day, bring them to work, bring them back.
Sure, and that's revenue for the hotel.
And that's how they did it. So they were able to have people clean up the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they need to nickel and dime us all to death to pay for the higher rates they're having to pay for maids or whatever. I don't know exactly.
Well, I think some of that.
I think they're trying to make up for COVID lost money too.
There's definitely that. I mean, there was a time when no one was staying anywhere. But I also think it's similar to cabs and Uber and that with the hotels and Airbnb. You've got a whole group of people now that are going, hey, I'm going to Airbnb my place. I noticed, like, in the case of my own family, I have someone going to stay on a business trip, and they have put 3 employees in an Airbnb house. And it's cheaper than getting 3 hotel rooms or 2 hotel rooms for these guys. So I think they're also fighting against that machine, you know, as well. And it is more cost effective to stay in an Airbnb. Do I like to do it? No. I'm not a fan of it. I'd rather be in a hotel, but
I've never had to do that. I'm glad.
I mean,
I could see it happening though.
Sure. I mean, and you think about like cabs, it used to be checkered, yellow cab, whatever, that picked everybody up from the airport. Now you see the Uber, the Lyft and the Uber line, they're just as many of those or more than cabs. You know, and was it the fees? Was it the nickel and diming us that got us over to Uber or what? I don't know.
I've never understood how that Uber people actually pull that off, and particularly cities like
New York. It was amazing.
You know, because it used to be a big deal for you to get a taxi medallion.
Mm-hmm.
That was like impossible. I mean, you just impossible
yeah.
for me or you to go to New York and try to get a taxi medallion and run a yellow cab.
Yeah.
And then somehow they just lost their juice and gave it up.
I don't know. I don't know either, but you're right. Yeah, you're right. So I don't know.
There's a lot of strange things that happened, you know, in the world. And then, you know, on a Hollywood thing that's going on that involves politics, Warner Brothers, it's called Discovery, or whatever the company is now.
Yeah.
They own CNN, they own HBO, they own Warner Brothers Movie Studio, they own the Discovery Channel and all these places. All right, so Netflix wants to buy them and made an offer. Well, Paramount and Comcast made offers as well.
Okay.
And so they decided they liked the Netflix offer the most. And people are screaming and going to, and so Paramount wants to make a bid and has made it much higher. And the board of directors would have a hard time
saying
they're going to have a hard time saying no. But one thing that's going on with the Paramount deal is the money that's going together to put together their big bid. Some of it's from foreign countries, and some of it is, you know, some of it's Jared Kushner's some type of wealth fund.
Interesting.
And so they're trying to use their connection with Trump, you know, to be able, because they will own CNN, Paramount would, and they promised to gut it and make it over again.
Wow.
Which Trump would very much love to do. So we'll see if he can will that one through.
Wow. Crazy.
And see. They just re-signed Anderson Cooper at CNN, and I thought they wasn't sure if he was going to stay or go or get more money or whatever it is. But
yeah.
There could be a lot of going on. I know they just they have a new boss. It's CBS.
Okay.
And it's very controversial. And she just hired Matt Gutman from ABC News. And he's going to be, well, I don't know if he's going to, he's not going to be the, he's the chief correspondent, they're calling him. So he's not going to be per se the evening news anchor. They got to find somebody else for that. But he is definitely, you know, he's kind of like, he looks a little bit like David Muir. So we'll see what happens. You know, there's a lot going on. They tried to hire Brett Baer, I think, and they tried to hire Anderson Cooper, but they were all under long-time contract.
Yeah. That's wild.
So there's a lot going on in the world. You're also seeing a lot of anchor people at around the country. You're seeing them retire. It sounds like they want to do this. I don't think that's true. And I think they're getting kind of pushed out.
Interesting.
Because the economics are such, they can't give them more money, and they can't even pay them what they're paying them.
Wow.
So they're moving them around, they're moving them to management, or they're moving them out.
I mean, you're seeing that all over the country.
Boston. In fact, some people kind of picked up on it. One of the Boston papers saw a couple of people, things moving around that didn't seem normal. And it's about the economy. No one's going to admit it, but it's about the economy of broadcasting, radio, TV, and all of it. It's, you know, it's really crazy what has happened. I mean, it's all gone to podcast and other things on the YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a big deal.
TikTok.
And, Facebook and TikTok. And they're just not doing traditional stuff. And people are doing other things. And particularly the younger people, 20s, 30s, mostly 20s, teens and 20s, they're absolutely 100%. You know, over there on just on whatever they've decided they're into today. And there are things that I've never heard of that I hear every once in a while.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I just saw an article too the other day on Time Magazine's front runner for Person of the Year, and they're talking about AI. It's not a person at all.
No, I think that absolutely would be legitimate. That's like the internet one year probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, AI for sure.
Yeah,
I used it twice today to ask it questions. You know that I couldn't figure out. I couldn't get to. It was easier to go to it than Google at the time. And I don't know that Google would have answered the question, but I felt like AI would. I was asking about somebody's who was their second husband or who was their first husband.
Yeah,
and it being answered it right away.
Yeah.
And actually answered it with a question that I didn't know they had been married three times. So, yeah.
Fascinating.
But, I mean, that AI is something.
I mean, the new, you know, I got the new MacBook, and the new MacBook uses ChatGPT instead of Siri, if you choose, you let Siri talk to ChatGPT, and then they come up with the answer, you know, long form. And it is useful. I mean, obviously, it's as good as the information it absorbs only. And
I see it makes some mistakes.
It does.
It does make mistakes. Right, it tells you some things that, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they would fix it if they knew it was a mistake. But, you know, it's garbage in, garbage out what they're using as sources.
Right.
And Wikipedia is not always correct.
No, it makes some moves
now and again. So if they're using Wikipedia as the Encyclopedia Britannica, that's not a good thing either. Not. So there's, you know, AI is scary, you know, particularly with what it can do with visuals and voices and things like that.
I find it
troubling what it can do with no guidelines, no guardrails. You think we'd learn, but we don't learn. We're really dumb people, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the internet. We let it go crazy, and it went wild, like the Wild West, with no rules.
Right.
And you got what you got with it. You know, you got a lot of fraud, and you got a lot of porn, and a lot of things on there that I don't think, you know, that parents, young parents that are responsible, do not let their children get near the internet or let them get near YouTube or anything else. And, you know, because they know it's dangerous. They know that there's a lot of bad stuff on there and there's no rules.
That's a battle right there. If you're a parent, that is a battle and a half.
That you eventually lose.
Eventually, yeah.
Because they're going to get to it at school and, you know, but you're not going to endorse it at home.
Yeah.
And I think you just try to hold, it's like with anything with parenting. Is I think the parents just try to, and I know I tried, and my parents tried with me, just to hold you back as long as they could.
Yes, I agree.
You know, when you hopefully have a developed brain that can make some good decisions.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And my dad used to say, a man doesn't have any sense till he's 28 years old, and even then, it's not measurable.
That's accurate.
I mean, that's pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah,
pretty accurate. Yeah, women do have a lot more sense than men earlier than we do.
Yeah, they mature.
We'd be so stupid, but anyway. So.
Well, Jimmy, wonderful as always. I enjoy every time we do this, and we missed last week because you weren't feeling good, so I'm glad you're feeling better now.
I'm feeling better. It's just I don't sound perfect yet, well, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Until next week when we do this all again in perfect form, I'm Derek Walker. He is
Jimmy Carter.
Good day.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.